I guess the biggest thing we can talk to Peter Welch of Vermont about today is COVID. I mean, how are you going to say it, Peter Welch, the only congressman from Vermont? How are you going to say it better than we think that if it stays on pace, it's possible that 600,000 Americans will die as a result of this? New thoughts?
You know, lessons learned. I mean, the fact is the U.S., in its response to COVID, has been a failure, and lives have been lost as a result of that. You know, if you compare our outcomes, we've got like 4% of the world's population in the United States, but we've had nearly 25% of the COVID deaths. And that is really very much a function of how the national government failed to respond here versus other countries where it did respond, like in Australia, like in South Korea, like in Taiwan. So that, unfortunately, is something that we can't be proud of. Now, the good news is that we do have a vaccine. And frankly, when it comes to the vaccine, the Trump administration was very aggressive. And it looks like there's some significant potential that we'll be doing vaccines this month of December, and that healthcare workers and folks in nursing homes will be getting vaccines late December and early January, and then it'll be rolling out to the American people during the winter and early spring. So that's the really good news. The challenge for us now is with that vaccine, it's literally within sight. It's like we're standing on one side of the river looking over the bridge, and we've got to cross that bridge. And the obstacles on our way to get that needle in our arm to make us safe are economic. And the question is whether, as we march across that bridge, the federal government is going to help folks with the unemployment they need, our small businesses with more of that PPP program, the payroll protection plan that was so helpful, our state and local governments where we've hemorrhaged revenues and it's going to really threaten school budgets. So if we are able politically to get our act together and help all people in the country, it's not a Republican-Democratic deal, then we can get to that other side, get vaccinated, and then have our restaurants reopen and not vanish, have our nonprofits go back into making the significant contributions in our communities that they make. So that's a big challenge for us, and that's existential.
So is there anything particular about COVID and Vermont that you are seeing, numbers or risk or hearing from your constituents?
Well, first of all, I want to give significant credit to Governor Scott. You know, the nation COVID rate has been bad. Vermont has had the lowest COVID infection rate in the country. And I give a lot of credit to Governor Scott, who took the situation very, very seriously, and led by paying attention to science and public health. And I give a lot of credit to Vermonters who have been really pretty much in solidarity that each of us has to do what we can to keep ourselves safe, but it's a duty we have to our neighbors to act in a responsible way with masks and social distancing. So Vermont has really had a good record, even as right now Vermont is experiencing an increase just as the whole nation is. You know, the winter spike is what we're starting to endure. But the fact is that for any family that gets COVID, it's a huge, huge loss. There's a lot of anxiety if you get it. And, of course, we've lost lives here in Vermont, and that's brutal, obviously. But we've got to hang in there because that vaccine is in sight, and that moment when we're going to be vaccinated and collectively safe is within sight as well.
So let me ask about your priorities in the lame duck session, which we're in right now. I take it that the number one thing is some relief, some pandemic relief. Is there anything else?
Well, for the lame duck, it's definitely getting relief because we need it, and we need it now. And waiting till January 20th when Vice President Biden is sworn in is, in my view, too late. We will have to do more then, but we need help now so people don't sink before they get it. Going into the next Biden administration, the first order of priority, obviously, is getting on top of COVID, getting that vaccine administered. But then we can have an ambitious economic renewal agenda that focuses on rebuilding the middle class. And it's things that are important for all of us. It's like broadband throughout America. It's like lower prescription drug prices that are killing us. It's like addressing climate change and understand that by taking that on, we actually are going to create thousands and thousands of jobs and build incomes. So there is so much that we can do that will be beneficial to everybody in this country, and not a Republican or Democratic deal, if we start addressing these problems that have been ignored for the past 4 years.
Nancy Pelosi, she's going to be the speaker. Who comes after her?
As speaker?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you're in the speculation game. So
that's my job.
But we've got a lot of good people, but she's a spring chicken at 80, so she's been doing a great job for as long as I've been serving in Congress, and she has more energy than anybody else I know around there. So I don't know what that means about your speculation on who will follow her or when.
So there is some speculation, however, about AOC and the Squad, and how the moderates and the Squad aren't doing well together. There's some dissension. Have you seen that?
Well, I've seen it in the press. But see, my view on this is that there's different orientations that, like AOC in her district, she is very popular. Annette Spanberger, who's from Virginia and was in a district that had been Republican, she's very popular in her district, although she had a much tighter election. And they both present in very effective ways for the people they represent. The common ground that we have between the moderates/progressives is on the issues. In healthcare, we all want to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. That'll be beneficial in AOC's district. It'll be beneficial in Spanberger's district. It'll be beneficial in my district here in Vermont. We all want to get COVID relief that includes funding to get those vaccines administered as quickly as possible. So if we step back from just the kind of abstract argument to the concrete opportunities we have, there's so much that needs to be done that would be broadly beneficial that I think that the Democrats are going to be able to work together in a unified way.
And speaking of which, the future of the Affordable Care Act in the coming Congress, I guess a lot will depend on what happens in Georgia.
The Affordable Care Act is going to be protected no matter what, because even with the Republican senator and Mitch McConnell's efforts, he probably couldn't get the votes in the Senate to repeal it. He's never been able to really do that. And obviously we've got President Biden, who's never going to agree to that. The challenge for us is to improve it. It's to bring down the cost. The biggest problem we face in health care is the cost of health care. Our country pays more in health care by a significant amount than any other industrialized country. Even though we pay more, oftentimes we get less. And the biggest challenge is not just access to health care, it's the cost of health care that can squeeze access. So I see us in our effort to improve the Affordable Care Act is having to really pay attention to the cost of healthcare and find ways to bring that down, starting with the brutal ripoff prices for prescription drugs.
It's wonderful, Peter Welch, to talk to you and to get your insights to what's going on. You're an honest man, and we so appreciate it.
Thanks.